This WebmasterRadio.fm program is made possible in part by the following.
AFCON 2010, where affiliates always attend for free. June 21st through 23rd in Denver. Make your plans now to be at the most affordable, informative, interactive trade show anywhere. Haven't made your plans to join us? Then it's time to act fast. We have secured a limited number of hotel rooms at the fabulous Hyatt Regency Convention Center Hotel, the official host hotel of AFCON 2010. Book your reservations at our exclusive AFCON 2010 special rate by going to bit.ly/cheap hotel. That's bit.ly/cheap hotel. These rooms are guaranteed to be sold out fast. Remember, AFCON 2010 is giving you 2 days of back-to-back sessions, keynote presentations, exhibit access, and incredible nighttime networking for free. Plus, we're giving you unbelievable room specials for a limited time. Book your rooms now by going to bit.ly/cheap hotel. AFCON 2010, the trade show that's free for all affiliates. June 21st through 23rd in Denver. Register today at AFFCOM2010.com. That's AFFCOM2010.com.
The opinions expressed on this WebmasterRadio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WebmasterRadio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better? It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome to the Life Tips Show, everybody. I'm here with Mark Havener from the company The Way Things Are Published. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So I'm so excited to be talking with a publisher today, a fellow publisher, I might add. Mark, can you tell us a little bit about your company and your spin and how the world is changing and how you're helping it change?
The Way Things Are Publications is a small micro-publisher who has a very niche mission and a particular way of doing things that differ from the traditional publishing world. The niche for The Way Things Are Publications is to spotlight titles, whether they be fiction, nonfiction, photographs, whatever collections that might entail, and to spotlight titles that actually help bring awareness to important social issues. And that can be done in a variety of ways, so we don't limit ourselves on genre or type of book, but we do need to make sure that any books we publish are somehow communicating an important social issue. And so far we have addressed topics around environmentalism, the changing business landscape in America, and some of the topics along those lines.
Mark, can you help us understand and explain the distinction between your printing operation and publishing operation, I should say, versus the vanity publishing world that we all dread and hate?
Sure. Vanity publishing, of course, has been around for as long as publishing. And lately they've taken up a new sort of revolutionary technology called print-on-demand, in which digital files can be placed into a machine and they literally print based upon a single order. So if somebody orders one book, you print one book. The traditional method is to print 5,000 books, keep them in your inventory warehouse, and then ship them when somebody buys them. So for vanity presses, this has been a real boon. But as a result, they have somewhat appealed to the market in a way that the mainstream industry doesn't really care for. Early on, print-on-demand publishing was less than normal on quality. That's improved over the years. But as a result, booksellers and distributors have seen nothing but low-quality books coming from vanity presses with low-quality content. And many independent publishers and micro-publishers are using print-on-demand technology because it is extremely efficient, cost-saving method to do printing. And we are also battling the stigma of being a vanity press.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you work with your authors? Are you paying them? Are they paying you in the early stages? And how are you splitting royalties? Is there any data that you could provide for those listening that might want to learn more about how you work?
Yeah, the way things are, as a traditional publisher, we don't charge authors for anything. We ask them to market for us in the best ways that they can. That might be run a blog or appear at a bookstore to do a signing. But just like a traditional press, if you are accepted by the way things are, then that means we are doing all of the marketing, all of the printing, all of the public relations, media relations, book tours, replacing you in book shows, and you get a royalty. And we pay pretty high, generous royalties because we are very selective on the authors that we choose. And our royalties, you know, are very competitive in the industry. You'll actually find some cases we do higher royalties. It can be anywhere between 15-20%. And we do that also because it's part of our business model to have a partnership with the author as opposed to tell the author what they're doing. And we find that's important because in this new changing book industry, partnerships with authors is probably the best way to market a book. And if the author is 100% behind it and they feel like they have 100% of their contribution in there, and we deal with them as a partner, then they will be an evangelist for their book. Also, we try to fall out of the trap in which you pick up a book and don't market it. It's probably one of our big differentiators, is that we only choose books that we're going to completely and full and totally resource, whether from a marketing perspective or a media relations perspective. And there are many publishers that will just pick up books and throw them out and hope that they catch on by themselves. And we don't do that. We market all the books that we choose. And the reason that I bring all of this up in conjunction with the print on demand is because the vanity press, typically you have to buy into that. You'll need to pay the press to market you. And we don't do that. We're a traditional publisher.
Mm-hmm. And what is your take on the challenges and complexities with marketing books these days?
There are many challenges and complexities for marketing books these days.
How are you helping authors on that front? Besides praying.
Well, besides praying, right. First of all, marketing is very challenging these days because of ad avoidance. It used to be in the days of yore, you could buy an ad for, you know, $25,000 and you can expect to get your return out of that investment by sales of books. But these days with TiVo and with, digital radio and with online publications, people are avoiding ads more now than they ever have. So the strategy has really changed to a public relations strategy where you get a third-party endorsement from media or from bloggers or, most interestingly, from other people that do nothing but play on the Internet and social media. Mm-hmm. And part of getting a third-party endorsement in social media is finding the influential person there, maybe a mommy blogger or somebody that has influence and a following on Facebook or Twitter, and then accessing them and, you know, befriending them and letting them evangelize your book.
That's a great tip, and we want to get some more tips from you because you really are super knowledgeable in this space. Are you leaving it up to your writers to do some of that marketing? And shouldn't they be, realistically, shouldn't they be as excited and proud for their book, as you as a publisher?
The author should be the biggest evangelist for their book, and excited, passionate authors about issues that they are excited and passionate about make the best evangelists. That can represent itself in many ways. For example, one of the book we're having that's going to come out this year by environmental columnist Edward Flatow. He's been a columnist for more than 40 years, and he's really entrenched into traditional media. And so that person may not be the best candidate for, say, social media, but he writes columns. And so if he's interacting and evangelizing the content of his book through columns, then I can distribute that as a publisher through social media for him. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the strategies we take on. But if you look at an author like Kathleen Kaufman, who has a very strong following on Facebook, she does her evangelizing, and all I do is feed her the resources to be successful.
You have a couple of titles coming up, the Tree Museum by Kathleen Kaufman, you just mentioned her, and also Tree Morality, Mankind's Role in Environmental Responsibility. Can you tell us a little bit about these two titles and your excitement about them?
Certainly. The Tree Museum by Kathleen Kaufman is a fiction environmental thriller. And it's an exciting book in a lot of ways, but one of the things that I think is most exciting about it is that it's an environmental thriller. It takes an environmental dystopic situation and makes a story out of it. And the story is really about a couple and this environmental tragedy, but the background makes it so that you can visualize what it will be like if things go sour or when things go wrong. That particular book can also be called a utopia instead of a dystopia because, interestingly, the environmental tragedy that's going on is actually this, I'm trying to describe it. It's very difficult to describe, even though I've published the book. It's a really complicated scenario. But basically what happens is this is this unstoppable force called the Sign Makers, ambiguous. You don't even know who they are. They come in and they force mankind to mend their ways and to become environmentally sustainable. And they do that by permanently removing anybody or anything that is wasteful. So on the one hand, you know, it's pretty terrible what's happening as people are being eliminated. But on the other hand, humanity is becoming self-sufficient. So it's a real compelling story. And that's an example of what we would consider something that would raise social awareness about an important topic. Green Morality is the book that I was mentioning by Edward Plateau, who's an environmental columnist out of D.C. He's the longest-running national environmental columnist, and in his field he's very well regarded. He's written three books. This is his fourth. And the interesting thing about this book is that Edward Plateau is allowed to unleash his real opinion on where we are going environmentally. And he sort of challenges, not sort of, he really does challenge almost everybody involved in the last 30 years on environmental policy. And his point is that environmentalism needs to be a function of morality, not a function of economics. And so his book calls attention to travesties that need to be reversed and turned around through economic changes. And those are changes that are not very popular because they cost money and they're political. So his book is a real challenge and a sort of a cry out from his years of environmentalism. And it sounds it's a very frustrated book. It has a very frustrated voice, and I think there's a sense of urgency behind it that will make it pretty relevant these days.
Let's take a station break, everybody. When we're back, I want to ask you some questions about the power of authors these days, both on the web and in social media, and I also want to talk with you about some more about marketing books. Back in a second, everybody.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
Looking for an affiliate network that can package every solution an advertiser or publisher needs in one account? Your one-stop source for full-server solutions is AdMedia.com. AdMedia delivers an incredible lineup of specialized XML feeds for local, social, and search, plus the advertising arsenal of PPC, SEM, contextual, display, and more. AdMedia gives your campaign real visibility, from emailers to domain redirects. AdMedia tailors your all-in-one campaign to give your account a real advantage. AdMedia.com delivers cost-effective ad solutions with real conversions. Learn everything AdMedia can do for you today. Sign up at AdMedia.com. AdMedia, strong ROI made simple.
Friend Finder, the world's largest online dating network, featuring over 100 million profiles at hot sites such as Passion.com and FastCupid.com, represents enormous profit-making opportunities for webmasters just like you. With Friend Finder's ability to geo-target and provide billing solutions in most languages and currencies, you are sure to find our comprehensive network to be a good friend to your wallet. Get more traffic maximizing details now at friendfinder.com.
XY7 is a cheated market. Are you an affiliate? If yes, you'll pay me. No ifs, ands, or maybe. Get paid daily. Make a mad dash. Sign up as a flash. Quickly convert the click into cash. Affiliate marketing network is first place. I cut to the chase. It's all performance based. Listen to what I'm telling you, cause this what you better do. Join as a publisher and maximize your revenue. Think we agreed that money is what you need? Indeed, you can get paid from sales and leads. Not one thing lacking. Don't get it cracking. Even comes with state of the art tracking. Where did it start? You can do it a couple ways. 866XY7 page. It's code free. Tell me what you waiting on. So log on to XY7.com.
Ready to learn to be a mass marketing mastermind? Take some notes from the godfathers of mass distribution. Inbox, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Internet Marketing Channel, only on webmasterradio.fm.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
We're back with Mark Havener. Mark, welcome back. A perfect welcome. Hi. I love that. Nice small word, hi. It says so much in so little space. Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing these days in the social media world and in marketing books and the importance for your authors to get out there and talk the talk and walk the talk and preach what they believe in and market that. How are you seeing, can you give us some specific examples where you've actually traced book sales to social media engagement?
Social media can be a very powerful tool to market a book. It can also be a time sink. And I think too often what happens with anybody using social media as a marketing tool is that they go in and they hit every network that they can, and then they blow a lot of time and space trying to reach audiences that are not interested in what they're saying. Mm-hmm. So part of a successful social media marketing campaign is to first find the audience that you need to talk with. Make sure that the audience that are interested in your message. And once you've located that audience, speak to them directly and ignore everybody else. And that will save a lot of time and it'll make your work efficient. For example, just because you can doesn't mean you should sign up on 80 social networks. If your audience is on Facebook, you should be on Facebook and you can ignore Twitter. And vice versa. I've seen the strategy work where authors, we help them develop objectives and tell them that this is the audience we're after. These are our objectives. This is what we're trying to do. Once those are defined, then we can determine what networks they're most comfortable using. And then we find the audience on those networks. And these are usually in groups, or they're in, you know, they're fans of particular fan pages, or they're following certain Twitter feeds using certain keywords. And then we locate that audience and we talk to them. Now, the author can have as much involvement as he or she wants in this process, but it's also a process that the publisher can do without the author, or maybe in conjunction with, or maybe in addition to. In some cases, say with Kathleen Kaufman, we have several social media outlets going under different objectives. As a publisher, my objective is to sell her book. As an author, her objective is to create a fan base. Between the two of us, we can access that market together, and we have a broad audience. And we have seen conversions off of this. They can be related to social media because whenever there is a social media campaign, book sales are tied into that through trends. And we'll find, for example, that because of a whole lot of social media activity in one particular month, our sales spiked, you know, 20-30%. People do buy off of social media. And if you look at your own consumer patterns, you'll find yourself doing that.
Mm. Can you tell us a little bit about how you're using the on-demand technology and what your return policy is, sort of a no-return policy that allows you to have the right kind of policy to sell the right books in the right way?
Print on demand is a very important technology to us. We're a micro publisher. We don't have the resources to order 5,000 copies of a book and put them in a warehouse. And many publishers, even though they're big boys and have resources, really don't have the resources to do that either. There's an incredible amount of waste going on with the current practices. When you look at last year's numbers, for every 10 books that were sold to a retailer, 40% were destroyed and never sold. Hmm. What's going on are these publishers are sending out thousands of millions of books to booksellers who are then turning around and selling what they don't sell. And they're doing so in a very economically and environmentally destructive way, because the reason these books are bought in the first place by the bookseller in mass is so that they can display them. And the art of display, as mastered by Barnes & Noble and Borders and some of the bigger booksellers, it drives more sales. And if you go into a bookstore and you're looking for a book and you see 14, 15, and 15 of them sitting on a table, you're more inclined to buy than if there was just one. And booksellers know that, so they stock their shelves. But then they can turn around and return them. And in the case of the recession, there were many independent bookstores and micropublishers that actually went out of business because any books that they sent out were suddenly returned when they saw book sales plummet. And that's what really spawned us in 2007 to really, in 2008, to really think of a better way of doing it. Non-returnable programs are very unpopular by booksellers because when they buy a book, they don't want to carry the risk of not being able to sell it. Philosophically speaking, the bookseller has just as much stock in the risk as the publisher. And many times, the bookseller knows more who to publish, who to sell to than we would. And we might think that a book will work in their store, and they would know that it doesn't, or vice versa. So it's important for the bookseller to carry some of the risk. And we believe that a non-returnable program is the best way to do that. Now, booksellers, when they take a non-returnable program, can't often afford to do so because of their very low margins. So we believe our trade-off is to give a non-returnable program but a much higher discount so that there is minimal risk on the bookseller's part.
Tell us a little bit about the on-demand technology itself. Are you printing images in these books? Are you, tell us about the stock and the covers and imagery. Give us a feel for what's happening with on-demand technology. Book size.
On-demand has gone very far in technology than even 5 years ago. To the average consumer, there's no difference whatsoever between an offset book print on a regular press and an on-demand book. The quality is virtually the same. There are some limitations, however, on the kinds of things that you can do with on-demand. For example, covers are limited. You can't emboss on a cover if you wanted to take it an extra step. But you can, in many ways, in on-demand, it can take care of everything that you could on offset. It can do hardcover. It can do full color. It can do images, black and white color. And the sizes are pretty standard. You can do anything from 6x9 to 11x17, whatever size you want. And the stock is sort of limited as well. So you have to be prepared to have a limited choice when you're doing production of on-demand. But the end quality is virtually the same as offset.
You talked about color covers. What about color process, which is, of course, digital color imagery on the inside pages?
Yeah, the technology is available with on-demand. As a matter of fact, we have on this year a plan to do a book with a Colorado photographer. And her book will be a color collection of Colorado photographs, and it will be, I believe it's already turning out to be quite a beautiful collection. Print on demand can handle that just fine. It's just like with what happened with CDs, and it's just like what happened with iPods. There was a time in photographs, there was a time when everybody believed analog was the better quality. Mm-hmm. And then at one point, digital met and exceeded it, and that's what's happening with print.
What about size limitations? And these, in all of these on-demand printed books are, of course, perfect bound. Are there size limitations that younger authors might be aware of that we should know about?
Can be size limitations. Yeah, I don't have the exact numbers, but there can be size limitations.
Yeah.
The size needs to be generally a standard size. There are larger formatted size, especially on the color inside versions, but if the size is too small or too large, then it probably won't work on print-on-demand.
Mm-hmm. Now, on-demand printing, of course, has some consumer interfaces, like Lulu, for example. What's your take on Lulu, and do you know much about that operation, and how do you view them as a publisher?
Lulu and
merely
a printer? And some other publishers like that, they do publish books using print-on-demand technology. Generally, they use the leader in print-on-demand, which is Lightning Source. Lightning Source is a subsidiary of Ingram, who is the largest national distributor for books in the country. And so Lightning Source is a very reputable name, and they do very good work with their technology. So Lulu and some of these other companies will use Lightning Source to sell books. And what they do is they actually invite authors and they sell services to these authors. So if you are publishing through Lulu, publish whatever you want, and you can checklist all of the things that you want. If you want marketing around it, or if you need a website, or if you need all of those things that we as a publisher provide for our authors, Lulu will charge you for because they're a service. I wouldn't call them a vanity press. There are vanity presses out there, though, that do use print on demand. And many people then know that they're getting into a vanity press situation, but there is criticism about certain vanity presses. Publish America comes to mind, with unscrupulous practices in which they behave in a devious manner towards authors and use the excitement of publishing their book to get money from them. And as a publisher, I would just warn any author going out there that if the publisher is asking for money, consider if it's a service, a vanity press, or an actual publisher. Because publishers, in the standard way, don't charge authors for anything.
Mm-hmm. Mark, what's your position on physical print versus PDFs and where that whole revolution is going?
I believe that PDF is not going to be around much longer because there are other digital formats that are taking the stage. EPUB is an example. PDFs for books probably are not very accessible for many people because I don't know many people that will just accept a PDF under their computer and read them. Only that. That's not true with, say, nonfiction or some other more top 10 tips on how to do things kinds of books. Because I read those kinds of PDFs all the time. But what's happening now is the e-reader, and that's really where the future of digital publishing is. And that's with Amazon now with the advent of the iPad. I would wager that within a decade, there will be more books read through digital means than there will be through print, which is another reason why print-on-demand is an important technology, because you can't be wasting money on inventory if everybody's just downloading your book on an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
It is critical for publishers to print on both. It's critical for publishers to have avenues in both, but the revenue stream is going to be digital. It isn't going to be print, especially with the wasteful nature of print as it is right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you considered, you know, selling, let's just call it e-reader, EPUB, you know, call it whatever you want, PDF versions of the actual books that you are physically printing? Have you thought about selling those at a discounted rate and allowing those people that wanted that distribution vehicle to opt for perhaps a lesser price, actually possibly generating more additional revenue for you, you know, and your authors?
As a general rule of thumb, we will always publish an electronic version of the book with the print book because it's our belief that providing more windows for the consumer is the best choice from a business strategy point of view. Also, there are audiences that will read off of a Kindle or an iPad before they read print. And so it doesn't cannibalize one another necessarily. You can have both. And also, I think it's important to have both because we're trying to perpetuate the industry here. Right now, the industry is extremely, extremely wasteful and, as we all know, not doing very well as a result. And if you look at the numbers, 40% books return, that's $2 billion worth of wasted books in 1 year alone. $10 billion. If there were non-returnable programs, if people were using digital outlets, and if they were using print-on-demand technology, $10 billion every year would be freed up in this industry. And so it's very important that all these avenues are used. And it's increasingly important that the offset printing is kept to a minimum and the inventories are kept to a minimum, not just for the environment, but for the industry.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we're going to see some exciting revelations with the next generation of Kindle and the next generation of the iPad? The iPad's just, you know, hot off the press, no pun intended. But do you see it, you know, significant advances with that media?
I believe that will be the leading media within 10 years' time. I think that the revolution of the iPad, and it really was a revolution. I think that iPad has changed how we interface with computers. I think it's moving both the desktop and the laptop out of favor, and it's going to do a lot for us in publishing. I think that you can give price competitively in iPad. You can make your text interactive with iPad. I think that iPad actually may have killed Kindle, and Kindle's now a software and not an e-reader. There's a lot of transformation as a result of iPad, but I predict that within about within a very short period of time, the electronic books will be the norm and not the and not a rising trend, but will actually be the mainstream norm.
It's an exciting future, and so glad to hear your professional input. What was your, I know you know a little bit about Life Tips and our publishing mission and the business model that we've been on track with for 10 years. What's your quick take on the Life Tips and the way we bring in authors and make them published authors, a free service for writers, and publish a 101 tip book for them? We, by the way, share your methodology of offering a 20% share of the revenue from any of the book sales. The book sales sell for $9.99, and we offer 20% split to the writers over there. What's your take on Life Tips?
I think that Life Tips is a very progressive way to publish. This is the future of publishing, and you have realized that by your practices. I think that using print on demand in conjunction with ebooks is going to be critical to your success. People still want the tactile thing. But you can do that without being wasteful, and selling a book based on an order is just another window in order to distribute the book. Also, I think that the partnership that you bring in authors on is important. This is a consumer-run world right now, and the old boys aren't figuring that out yet. And the consumers are telling us now what they want and what they need, and it's consumers publishing, it's not authors. And so it's important to make what is published viable and marketable, but it gone are the days where we get to pick and choose who's published.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we've had such excitement. We actually just sort of put some fine-tune in on the writer program, but it makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, writing a book and being an authority and being passionate in a topic area in today's day and age is being an evangelist for what you're doing, is sharing some free content and information on the web to a large audience, and we really think Life Tips is set up in an innovative way, so thanks for the positive feedback. But back to your business, who would you like to communicate with you, Mark, and how can people get a hold of you? Who do you want to reach, and how can they get a hold of you?
Well, I would love to reach authors that have an important social issue that they want to put out, whether it be in the form of nonfiction, fiction, photographs, any sort of media. We do get a lot of pitches and a lot of queries, but you know, the authors we're looking for are the ones that have a message that everybody needs to hear. And so those are the authors that we would like to hear from. And they can contact us just through email, you know, publisher@waythingsare.com. We prefer queries through email because we don't like to waste paper any more than we have to. The other thing I would like to hear from, though, the other party I would like to hear from are other micro-publishers, other publishers that are interested in changing things so that there are no more wasteful return practices, so that there are progressive marketing techniques. There are, fair and balanced contracts with publishers and authors. And so I would love to know who else is doing this. And I have an idea. There are some associations for small publishers. SPAN is one that comes to mind. Also the IPBA. And they do a lot of work in this regard. But I would love to hear who else is out there doing this, because I think if we teamed up, and got the word out, then the revolution could happen sooner.
Well, count me into being a revolutionary on that front. I'm happy to march behind you and leading some charge. We do, in fact, at Life Tips have a non-return policy for any books that are ordered, we leave it to our writers to publish their books. But we were so excited. One of our books, 101 Green Travel Tips book by Linda Handiak, got picked up and reviewed by Town and Country. In this last issue, so we were really excited for her, it's so exciting. The publishing world is really so exciting. I mean, when you work so hard on something and it gets recognition and you're in a movement that's trying to make the world a better place, with quality content, it's just plain exciting. And it sounds to me like your company is really doing that. So hats off to you for leading that charge.
Thank you. I think that it's an important endeavor because we don't want to see this industry go away. We would love to see it transformed and turn into something really special that doesn't have to be wasteful. And when I say wasteful, I do tend to talk environment, but really we're talking money. I mean, if we could save these billions of dollars, put it back into the industry and get more messages out there, then that's what we should do.
Everyone wants to sell more books. Do you have any final tips for, you know, we talked about social media, we saw talk about reaching out there, and there's clearly a fine line between pushing and selling. No one wants to be sold to. That's the other challenge we have in today's market. It's all about information. But do you have any other tips for people to sell more books? You know, is the grassroots, you know, book signing still important? You know, is spreading the word out, is writing a story about writing your book something that's important, why you wrote it, what it means, you know, are there creative things happening in the nonprofit, you know, fundraising aspect of book sales that you might comment on? Anything strike any nerves of a wisdom you might shed on readers, listeners?
I think the most important thing that you can do is use public relations, old-fashioned public relations. Picking up the phone, calling your local media, the press. The books are sold because there's a third-party endorsement by people that are trusted. And book reviewers are trusted, but, you know, so are broadcasters, so are, you know, magazine editorials, and they're not just book reviews. I mean, they can be pitched about features and say, hey, you know, you should feature this L.A. Unified school teacher, Kathleen Kaufman, and what she is doing, and you know, just write an article about her. And the media is very hungry for those kinds of stories, and the more that you get third-party endorsements, the more people are going to buy your book. And so the most influential people out there, you look around and see who they are. You know, it's your local broadcast affiliate. It's the magazine that you pick up at the store. It's the radio that you listen to. And those are the people you should be calling. And people don't ask. And if you don't ask, you don't get the sell. And so you really need to pick up the phone and call public relations. Mm.
Do you have actual coaching that you do for the authors that you bring on? Do you have any courses or materials or you know, webinars that coach people on how to promote their book?
Well, I suppose in a way we do. I mean, we just are on the phone with our authors a lot. I talk to my authors daily. I'm the marketing director, so my focus is selling their book. And I counsel them on a day-to-day basis. I'm basically their own PR guy on retainer. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we don't provide services for authors. I mean, we've talked about maybe starting another part of the business that would be coaching for authors, but you know, we only have so many resources. I think that right. At this time, we just try to bring our authors into the fold.
It's a real challenge. You know, we have hundreds of gurus over at Life Tips. You know, as part of our rollout plan, we're recruiting a number of them now, and it's, you know, it's difficult. We have a little bit of an asset in you know, about 1 million unique visitors that visit Life Tips right now, and that helps us get the word out and promote the gurus' books and promote the gurus, you know, that actually answer questions at Life Tips and connect with people and make themselves available. So that's been some of our secret sauce, but I do think that there are some tricks of the trade that you know, there's good data out there. I would welcome an opportunity to talk with you about that in the future and perhaps bring a webinar to our gurus or bring you in to be a guest speaker for our gurus over at Life Tips and hopefully pick up some new potential authors for you that some of our folks that are really good and talented and are looking to publish more books.
That sounds fantastic. I mean, we would love to be a part of that. I think that the more that organizations like ourselves ally with organizations like yours, the further we can go. I believe that strategic partnerships are important to the future of the industry. And too many of the big boys sit on their mountains without looking around, and their mountains are crumbling, and it'll be us that are left over. So the more that we can do to support each other's audiences, the better.
Well, Mark, I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Until next week, everybody, I hope your life and your publishing life was a little smarter, better, better, faster, and wiser. And thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next week for another great show. Thanks, everyone.